And now, once again, let us turn from meditation to Psalm 119. And this evening we'll read verses 77 to 80. That's Psalm 119 and verses 77 to 80. This is what it reads. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. It should be very wonderful to us as we go through this 119th Psalm to observe how the psalmist writes, and we believe it's David, and he tells us really those things which are in his innermost being. They're not really on the surface, they're those things which he confides to his God. And therefore we should be thankful that the Holy Spirit has granted that such concerns and such desires and such prayers have been recorded, so that we today, in our day, we live on the same earth, we have the same adversary, the devil, to contend with. We have the same God who hears and answers prayer. And so may we be encouraged as we read the heart's murmurings and the heart's desires as David writes. And may we each find an echo perhaps, not in all the things, but some of the things that we're able to read, so that we recognise that here is a child of God, a man after our own kind, a man with similar passions, a man left to himself, falls into all manner of sin, and yet a man whose hope was nonetheless in his God. Well, as we're blessed to have such a psalm to be able to read, may we be encouraged by it. May we read it carefully. How often perhaps we read parts of this 119th Psalm. Perhaps many times we read it all through. And perhaps sometimes there's been those sections which we've learned. But nonetheless, the blessing is when God applies his word to our hearts. And we find we are a companion with David. And so he tells us in this 77th verse, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. It's interesting the words he uses. He doesn't say, let thy mercies come unto me. He says, let thy tender mercies come unto me. We may think, well, why did he write in that way? Well, if we consider the life of David, we will know that he did fall into great sin, and he deserved God's wrath, and yet he comes and pleads with his God that he would deal with him tenderly. Our God is merciful. Our God does not deal with us as our sins deserve. So it's a blessing if we can come and in a similar way and say, let thy tender mercies come unto me. David needed them, you and I need them in our lives. And he goes on, he doesn't stop there, there's a reason that I may live. He wanted to be lively in the things of God. He didn't want to be found afar off. He didn't want to be found wandering away from God, but he wanted God's tender mercies to come to him, he realized that he had no ability to demand them, but he could pray for them, that I may live. And then he says, for thy law is my delight. How many times we've already read in this 119th Psalm about God's law being a delight to him. He indeed rejoiced to be able to read the grand and glorious truth of God, contained, as we know, in basically the first five books of the Bible, which were the only books that were probably available, plus perhaps Job and perhaps Ruth, but none of the others. So there were those wonderful favours of the law of God which he delighted in. And if you just ponder that for a moment, to think what those five books contain. They contain a wonderful account of God's creation, of God's mercy, of God's favour, of God's leading, of God's direction, to God's blessing to deliver Israel, to bring them across the Red Sea, to give them the law of God, to give them the wonderful ideas and directions to erect the tabernacle, and all those directions which revolved around the tabernacle. And we see, do we not, God's great goodness in this. So surely there's much reason to recognize why David asks for this. For thy law is my delight. Well, I hope it might be our delight. The word of God may never be anything other than a delight to us, especially as we find it describes our spiritual life. And then he goes on and he says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me. It's really because of those words that we read the 109th Psalm, because again, in the 109th Psalm, David explains really the opposition that he's faced and how he prays to God that he will deal with that opposition. He tells us in the second and third verses, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me in lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. And we should not therefore be surprised that the world in which we live, there are those who take the same attitude and speak perhaps the same words against us. And if so, we can come to the Psalms and we can find there we have a companion who walked the same way, who understand the path that we're in. That's why God, in his amazing love and mercy, has granted that such words should be recorded, so they may be a strength and a help to us as we journey on. And it's good to realize that God in his mercy has given such words. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. And that's quite hard to bear, when people deal perversely against us without a cause. But we should always remember the blessed life of the Saviour, because Jesus was dealt with perversely without a cause. And in that situation, if God grants us the blessing, as the Apostle Paul desired, fellowship with his sufferings, we will understand the reason and we will bless God for it. He goes on, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Again, referring to the law of God and the many precepts that it contains. There was a place where his soul fed as he studied the word of God, and he pondered it and he meditated upon it. He didn't just read it as a task. He didn't just gabble over it. He meditated in it. And if you and I think about that, if you and I are to meditate in the word of God, it can't be something which is hastily read. We won't meditate. It's something we need to ponder and realise why God, in his great love and mercy, has recorded such things to encourage us. And then he goes on, let those that fear me turn unto me, and those that have known my testimonies. It means there that the Church of God, the true believers with whom there is godly fellowship, here we can turn away from those who care not for the things of God, but let those that fear thee turn unto me. We join together in union, we join together in communion, and those that have known thy testimonies, those that have experienced the gracious work of God, have known thy testimonies. It's not a theory, it's something they've experienced. And there's no doubt when we meet with the children of God who walk the same path, there is a testimony to be shared. There is a testimony to be given. There is a testimony to encourage. You see, David then encourages those that fear God to turn to David as a companion. And then he says in verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. That means to be established in the truth of God. And you and I won't be established in the truth of God unless we know the truth of God, and unless God graciously opens our hearts to receive his word. And therefore he comes directly to that point, let my heart, his innermost being, be sound in thy statutes, in the law of God, taught by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing then, if that is so, that I be not ashamed. It's when we know we're walking in the ways of our Lord, we're not ashamed, because God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, may we truly meditate on these things and realise what a blessing it is that God has recorded the pathway of David, his innermost being, and able to write it down so that we can echo the words which we read.